This podcast is brought to you by Bodog.net.
Don't miss a chance to play at Bodog.net. When the odds are stacked against you, post-game tastes that much sweeter. Bodog.net, your source of free casino games, poker strategies, and live sports odds.
Ottawa, let's spend some time in the box on TSN 1200, recapping yesterday and giving you a head start on today.
Far right point to McKinnon off the one draw. Wrister blocked by Brodin, left him hobbling, tipping it ahead. Freddie Goudreau, he's got a shorthanded break. McCarr trying to catch him. Goudreau protecting it with a shot. He scores! Freddie Goudreau! Shorthanded! And the Wild have a 3-1 lead!
Unbelievable.
TSN 1200.
So it's Nick Backstrom, 1-for-2, picking it up and drifting right over the Islander line. In on Sorokin. Backstrom slows it down, shoots. Sorokin the save! And the New York Islanders have their first shootout win of the year as they take it here tonight in Washington, D.C.
In the box.
Onto the corner, Verhaeghe up top, Montour. One-timer tip wide in front by Tkachuk. Here on the near side, Verhaeghe under some pressure. Pass out to Montour. Ekblad.
One-time drive, he scores! A power play goal tipped in front. And the Panthers tie it at 2 with 58.5 seconds to go. Sam Reinhart got a stick on that out in front, and this game is tied.
Barkov with Montour. Barkov left circle, walks in front of the net.
Montour, he scores, top shelf, and the Panthers win it in overtime. 3-2 the final here in Toronto. They tie it late in regulation. They win it in overtime, and the Panthers are back to within 1 point of a playoff spot.
Now with the real host of the show, Chris Stevenson. Here's Steve Lloyd on CJ 1200.
You know what, though? I'm going to call it Kenny 1200 today. Hey, it's playoff game day, game one. Kenneth Scott Walls, double duty. He's going to produce this show and do a bang-up job, as he always does. Then he's gonna hop across the bridge. Why don't you walk, Kenny? Hey, just walk over. Walk like you own the place in that beautiful suit that I'm sure that you're wearing. And you'll have the call tonight on our brother station, 580 CFRA, Game 1, Ottawa 67s against the Oshawa Generals at the Slush Puppy Center. And I'm leading with that because it's an all-day ticket giveaway yet again for Game 2. Every hour on the show, listen for the garbage. We're going to do that again. Kenny with his garbage will be dropped. And when you hear that, you call. And what we say, Kenny? Caller 25, is that what we did the other day for the tickets for today's game?
Yep.
All right, caller 25, we'll do that. Once an hour, more tickets for Game 2 coming up on Sunday. So, CJ, just hold your horses, CJ 1200. Good morning, Kenny Walls. How beautiful is the suit? How excited are you for tonight?
Everything's good. Everything's A-OK. It's a nice red suit today. It'll be a barber pole pattern type of thing.
Nice, okay.
So, everything's good, yeah.
Sunday red, tiger-like? You're just getting after it?
Getting after it, yeah.
Okay,
if you
good.
Want, sure.
All right, good. Thank you, Kenny. Good morning, Chris Stevenson, co-hosting today and tomorrow, and all next week, because the 67s have to play elsewhere for a reason. We're going to be at TD Place at the arena for the Men's World Curling Championships. And then I think I got you the first 2 days a week after, too. I mean, what did I do to deserve this? Stuck with you. All this time here. Good morning. How are you?
Hello, Lloydy, Kenny, everybody listening. Senators game day, 67s game day. We're opening day for baseball. We're getting into one of those, you know, you can have the debate, spring, fall, which is the best for sports. But it's exciting right now. If we could just get the weather to cooperate just like a little bit. Could we get to double digits at some point, and now it would really feel like that special time of year, the Masters on the horizon, the World Curling Championships. We start thinking about golf courses opening around here. Apparently they're open like down in Syracuse already. So, yeah, come on. Just a little bit, Scooby, man. If you can do something about it, just crank up the thermostat a little bit in the next little while, and we'll be good to go. But, yeah, what a great day just here in Ottawa now with Senators still sniffing around. The pilot light's still on, as you like to say.
It wasn't a good night, the out-of-town scoreboard last night, but the pilot light's still on.
Yes, and looking for the 67s to have a big, big start to what we hope is going to be the type of playoff run where the temperature will be in the mid-20s when they're still playing.
Okay, don't pivot to sports yet. I'm not done whining. Okay, so I wake up in the middle of the night last night, 3:30 or whatever it was, right? And it's one of those like, why did I wake up? I was like, do I need to pee? No, not really. I'm cold. I'm actually cold here because, you know, like most people, we set the thermostat to be tapped down at night. I like it to be cool like everybody else, right? And I realized I just wasn't. So I quietly get up and I went and put a long sleeve shirt on and got back in bed. It's what is going on?
Yeah.
CJ.
Yeah.
I thought we were getting to the other side of this thing. Yeah. Okay, now my whining's over. Okay. So we've got
that's usually almost always the way it goes. Eh? We get a little bit of a tease, the snow starts to melt. Good start to the show.
Oh, he card reads good.
Yeah. And then we get that slap in the face. You know, we had all that snow, what was it, last weekend, and then cool temperatures today. But most of the days are better than that. So that's what we hang on to right now.
We get that last cuff upside the ear.
Exactly.
We're not done yet. Here's one more on their way at the door. Yep. Okay. So double game day. 67's game's going to be on Brother Station 580 CFRA, the start of the postseason. And right here, the Kenny will have a call there. Dean and Gord will have a call of the Philadelphia Flyers and the Ottawa Senators. Hey, don't look now. Flyers are playing well lately. They're picking up some wins. Sens coming off a win against the Panthers the other night. And if you missed the news from yesterday, we might get a little bit more this morning skate, and hear from Coach. We'll take that live as we always do, and we'll see. Question I have is Cam Talbot's going to dress. Is Cam Talbot going to start? He was in the starters end all day at practice yesterday, if that means anything. And I'll tell you this, if Cam Talbot's not out there, he's starting because that's his routine. If it's a GG's goalie filling things out, that's often.
Yep.
So we'll know, no matter if DJ Smith says something or not, it's going to be, we'll know if Cam Talbot's starting if he's not taking the morning skate, because that is the routine he's stuck to throughout the season. Tyler Cleven's going to play. He's going to play with Holden. And I don't know. Ridly Greig's going to play, it sounds like, at some point again this season, the way DJ Smith was talking yesterday. He took the whole skate, not in a yellow, and he just said he kept on saying, well, he's not cleared yet. So did he get cleared later yesterday? I don't know. So something else to keep an eye on here. So let's start with Cleven. I think a lot of fans are excited to see the shiny new toy, no matter what that is, and he's that.
Yeah, the goaltending thing is interesting, I think, down the stretch here. And what do you feel is a good pilot light? Still on, still a chance, and you can argue whether Sogard or Talbot's your best chance right now to win a game, but what would you like to see the split be for the remaining, what is it, eight games right now
for the goalies?
Yeah,
man, honestly, okay, you're going to split the weekend, right? That's your last back-to-back.
Yeah.
You're playing the Leafs here, then you're in Columbus. So that's a given. One guy's going to play each of those games. I could make a serious case that Sogard should start tonight because he's played so well the last two games.
Yeah.
And he's in a groove. And he was so down on himself, and it wasn't all his fault, but the team, you know, was giving up, averaging 5 goals a game for the longest time, and he was in net for a lot of that. So that's going to wear on a guy. But then he, you know, he picked up the last win, not allowing as much here. You know, Ferguson picked up the win. That was fun in Pittsburgh. But, you know, this is Mads Sogard supposed to be the goalie of the future. And right now, he's playing like the goalie of the present in the here and now. So I could make an argument he should be Sogard tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if it's going to be. And if it is Talbot, he better play well.
Yes.
Because you have an option right now because the other guy's feeling good about his game.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's interesting to me because one's definitely got a future with this team and the other one's questionable, right? Talbot, who knows?
To be kind, I think it's questionable.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a question we can ask. Like, what's the price point? It's a given. It's not a term deal if you bring him back.
You're looking like only 1 year, right? You've got Forsberg still. You've got Sogard. It can't be more than a year.
And what would the money be?
Yeah.
Would you go more than what he's making right now?
I would not.
No, I would not either. It'd be haircut time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Anyways, continue with your thought.
And then I guess the other, and that's why I wonder right now, you know what Talbot is. You're not sure if he's going to be back for next year. And do you take the path of making Sogard kind of feel like the number one guy here over the rest of the games of this of this season? And start grooming him for that, and you're invested in him for the future. The captain, I mean, as much as you think a chunk of that was hyperbole, what the captain had to say reflects what his teammates in the organization feel, and that's that Sogard's got the best chance to be their goalie of the future and the guy that's going to be in net when this team, as we expect it to be an annual contender for not just making the playoffs, but then becoming a legit contender for the Stanley Cup. So your investment in Sogard, to me, is way more important right now. And I would lean towards playing him for, like, personally, I'd be playing him like 6 out of the last 8 games. Talbot, we know what you are. We're not even sure if you're going to be here next year. So we're going to go with the guy that is our future, and we're going to give him most of the games, let him get those under his belt, but most importantly, make him start feeling like he's the guy that's going to be the man for this team, and let his teammates see that as well.
And give him the premium games as well. So that in your mind, Sogard starts tonight, Sogard starts against the Leafs, Talbot gets the Jackets, and one other.
Yeah.
That's what you're thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not bad logic, because I'll throw another one on top of it. He's the better goalie right now, in the here and now.
Right.
We haven't seen Talbot play in how many weeks again?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So who gives you the best chance to win a hockey game tonight? The guy that's been out as long as he's been for the third time this season? Or the goalie, air quotes, goalie of the future, that's had two excellent games now back-to-back?
Yeah.
There you go.
At this point where we are with where this franchise is, the way this season has gone, at this point, you should be playing the long game at this point for me. And that's why I get Clevin in.
Yeah.
And throw him in without the, throw him in to the deep end without the floaties on, and have the lifeguard standing by. If he shows he can keep his head above water and start swimming around, let him play.
Okay, they've got 3 recalls left too. They've only used 1. Everybody else has come up has been on an emergency recall.
Yes.
Even when they papered Sogard at the deadline, came up back up on emergency.
Yeah.
Greg is the only one they've used, so they've got 3 left here. And I mentioned this on the show yesterday. You weren't with us, myself and Kenny, and we got into it a little bit. That came out wrong. We didn't fight about it. We just discussed it. Right, Kenny? Let's not get into it. words matter, because I'm waiting for the first person you might have hooked on the way you pronounce another word that don't know the history of this show. I'm waiting for that text that will come in. So
yeah,
you've got 3 left. Lassie Thompson, Jacob Bernard-Docker, and Igor Sokolov, just to name 3 guys, right? All of them, they are out of waiver exemption to start next season. Now, I don't know if anything. I don't know if anything can happen between now and the rest of the season to maybe change an opinion. I don't know.
Yeah.
But just something worth noting.
Yes.
Like, would you give all of them, handful of those 3, some games here at the end of the year? Or, having said that, maybe you're rewarding somebody else that still, you know, Angus Crookshanks had a solid second half to his season. In Belleville. Like, Robbie Arvani went on a goal-scoring tear the last little while. Cooled off the last couple of games, but he's taken a step. If you're talking about, hey, you know what? Play Sogard. Play Clevin. Who else should you play, maybe?
Sokolov? Yeah, I think you should be playing. But now you get into trying to project people in roles that they might play. And you still are a young team. So to me, there's still value in not sitting out a whole bunch of the guys that you do have. Because it's good for them to get some experience too. But I guess when you look at the bottom part of the roster, when you're looking at the Browns of the world, are you better served to take him out of the lineup? Probably doesn't have a future with the team, and let one of those kids play, even if it might not be in kind of like the featured position. Like Sokolov's got to play at the very minimum third line. Right.
Well, and get him on the second unit power play.
Right.
Right.
Like to me, and that's always been something that I never agreed with my early days covering the National Hockey League. It always seemed like.
And I'm not campaigning to call him up. I'm just throwing out to just picking up on your idea.
Yes.
Hey, play Klevin, play Sogard.
Yeah.
All right. What else then? Right.
Yeah. And teams would bring their best player up from the American Hockey League and then play him like 8 minutes on the fourth line. When he's an offensive guy and that's his role. We saw that for years and years. We've seen it here. It seems like that approach has changed over the last few years. And I'm not sure if it's because of the more rapid maturation we're seeing from young players now. It seems like they're much better equipped at 19 or 20 to play in the NHL than 19 and 20-year-olds used to be. So I don't know if that's given teams a little bit more confidence that when you call a guy up from the American Hockey League and he's an offensive guy, that you can play him in a more featured role than just kind of like sticking him in the lineup and letting him play on the fourth line with guys who can't really help him be offensive. So I think if you are looking at bringing any of those guys up from the American Hockey League, I think you need to look at what's the projected role for them down the road and make sure that you're putting them in that role when they get a chance to play at the NHL level at this point. To your point about Sokolov, play with offensive guys, get some reps on the power play.
Now, I would think there is going to be a defenseman recalled, I would think, for Saturday, because they're flying to Columbus after the game against the Leafs. You don't want to go on the road with the bare minimum available to play defense for you. So I think it's reasonable to think that there might be a recall of a defenseman just to take to Columbus, right? Maybe they don't play, but we'll see.
Yeah, because it's certainly you're not getting any of the injured guys back anytime soon.
Shabbat and Chickard
are
out for the year.
They're probably gone for the year. Yeah.
They'd be lucky to have one of those guys back at the for
that's
any
a good
game.
Thought.
We'll see. All right. We'll go to break here, but thanks, CJ. Sprayed my water on my monitor due to hyperbole. And good to hear from Josh. Insatiable wants to know what hyperbole means.
That's a good one, Josh.
Kenny's got a whole page of it. Maybe he'll be inspired. All right. Morning Skate's getting underway shortly. We'll hear from Coach DJ Smith as well.
To the show.
That's a great start. Hey, on this cold day, one of those days you look outside, really sunny. It's not. It's not. It's not that warm. Okay. We'll take that break. We'll hear from Coach live a little bit. Morning Skate getting underway shortly. It's the Sens and Flyers tonight. Don't forget, it's also Sens Foundation Telethon night, as TSN 5 is going to be on the air with that coming up at 6 ahead of the game to raise money for great causes. We're back in a moment on In the Box on TSN 1200.
This podcast is brought to you by Bodog.net.
Don't miss a chance to play at Bodog.net. When the odds are stacked against you, post-game tastes that much sweeter. Bodog.net, your source of free casino games, poker strategies, and live sports odds.
All right, Kenny's busy right now. You might have heard a sounder. 67's tickets for Game 2 on Sunday to be given away each and every hour here today on TSN 1200. Game 1's tonight. Kenny's got the call on Brother Station 580 CFRA at the Slush Puppy Center in Gatineau. It's the 67's and the Oshawa Generals kicking off the OHL playoffs. All right, morning skates underway. And Cam Talbot has broken with what he's done a lot this season. I bet you this is because he just hasn't played in so long. He is taking the morning skate, and he is in the starter's end. So there you go. It would appear that Cam Talbot will start in goal tonight against one of his former teams in the Philadelphia Flyers. Sens lines, same as we saw against the Florida Panthers the other night. Ridly Gregg is skating again, like he practiced yesterday, but he is skating as an extra with Julian Gauthier. So Tkachuk, Stützle, Giroux, who was ill yesterday. It was expected he'd be fine for today, and that's the case. So that line's intact. DeBrincat, Pinto, Batherson, Brassard, Gambrell, Joseph, Brown, Kastelic, Watson, Sanderson, Zoo, Brännström, Hamonic, Klevin, Holden, Cam Talbot in the starter's end. So there you go. Well, as we discussed the goaltending, this is good in that Matt Sogard, his level of play recently, if Cam Talbot does not play well, I don't think DJ Smith hesitates. If you think about the structure of the, what you want to do here.
Yeah.
With the rest of your games here. But maybe Talbot comes in and he plays even better. Plays well, you get the win. Then you got two guys that will be coming off good games as you head into a back-to-back on the weekend.
Yep. And does that not set it up, you feel like, for Sogard to play Saturday night against the Leafs and kind of like the featured game of the week? And then you come back with Talbot on Sunday against Columbus. I mean, unless Talbot stands on his head tonight and pitches a shutout or something.
Mm-hmm.
But personally, my thing would be treat Sogard like he's your legit number one for the rest of this season. Set him up for a good summer. Set him up to come into camp like it's his job to win and go from there.
All right, can I ask you a question? We're going to get to Paul Maurice's post-game audio at some point here, but this isn't just about Maurice.
Yeah.
Now, if people did not see the highlights or were watching the Panthers-Leaf game last night, so there's a challenge is underway. It would have made it 2-1 Leafs, and the Panthers actually won the challenge. But regardless, as Paul Maurice used his time waiting for the decision to be made, whether or not that goal was going to count or not,
yep,
to absolutely tear a strip off his team. We've seen him animated before. There's a GIF I still often use. It's funny, where he looks down and it's bleep off, bleep off, bleep right, bleeping off.
Yep.
And he screams up to this. It's so good. This was, take that and take it up a notch.
Yes.
And draw it out. He is screaming up and down the bench. And the choice word, the adjective being used, well, I'd probably use it as an adjective, as a noun, verb.
One of the most versatile words in the English language, and I am a frequent practitioner myself.
There you go. It's and various tenses of that word.
Yep.
He was running the gamut. And he was asked about a postgame, so we'll get to that in a little bit. So there's Paul Maurice there. Jared Bednar was not happy with his Avalanche after the game last night. Basically said, we had passengers. There's that. Derek Lalonde got kicked out of the game the other night. The Red Wings beat the Pittsburgh Penguins. Rick Bowness is all out of bleeps to give with the Winnipeg Jets. He is absolutely just speaking his mind and eye-rolling on Shifley. And it's just, I don't know. Is it just that time of year, CJ?
Yeah.
The pressure's mounting.
It's a great point.
John Cooper benching guys. Yep. And like the list goes on here. Yep. We've had a lot of that recently with coaches.
Yeah. And to your point, many of them in situations where they don't really have much left to lose. And by that, I mean, Rick Bowness has, you know, the record for being behind the bench for the most games in NHL history. as a head coach, an associate coach, an assistant coach. I was just had a chance to catch up with Brad Shaw, who's on the Flyers staff here, and, you know, just talking about just what we're talking about, the coaches kind of losing their you-know-what, their you-know-what lately. And we had Bones on, if you'll remember. Did I do the show with you that day when you had him on as a guest? And he's like, I'm 95% sure that that's going to be it after he had parted ways with Dallas.
It was a double whammy. You lined up Bones. We did the show together. And that was the day Ryan Bonus was announced as an assistant general manager, right, of the Senators. It was right around that time.
Yep.
And so we're talking about that. And I remember the tone of his voice when you asked him the question. He started it that way.
Yeah.
I think I'm done. Yeah. I think I'm done, Chris.
I think his number was 95%.
Yeah.
And then a couple of days later.
No, the next morning.
Next morning?
No. So I see Ryan Bonus at the Sens opening golf tournament, introduced myself, and we chatted at Lock March.
Yep.
At the start of this season. And I mentioned that about, hey, your dad. And he says, oh, I know. I heard all about it. I know. Oh. He says, I know. He says, it was loud. He says, here, this is what happened. So they wanted him to do it, and he didn't want to do it. He says, I called him. I said, Dad, you should consider this.
Yeah.
And he literally did change his mind. He did. So, but that was funny.
So, you know, he's in the situation. Hey, I've done it all. Like you said, you had to twist my arm to take this job. I'm all out of Fs. And he's that was priceless, the eye roll when he was being asked questions about the team and things that the players had said. And that's always a bit of a slippery slope, because the media guys will be in the room and go out to talk to the coach, and they'll be saying, well, so-and-so said this, and Shifley said this, DeMello said this. You're not always sure if you're getting they're paraphrasing. But anyway, it was about Shifley talking about, well, he likes to hang on to the puck, and the eye roll. Mm. And the look heavenward that Rick Bonus dropped there. We're gonna play Paul Maurice's post game from last night, which was classic for me. But Bonus is clearly in that spot where, hey, you know what? You want to fire me? Go ahead. You don't want to play for me? Fine. I'll go back to Nova Scotia and go quietly into a well-deserved retirement. Still wouldn't surprise me if he winds up being a consultant from a distance for
that's what he told
teams.
Us that day.
Yeah.
He said he wanted to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll do that. That's fine.
Yeah.
But I think I'm not going to coach
anymore.
The
day-to-day stuff. Yeah.
He was released the next morning.
That's it.
Head coach of the Jets.
Yeah. So he's in that situation. You know, Bednar's won a cup with Colorado. Mm-hmm. Just got a contract extension.
He is emboldened.
Great word. Great word. Now he's like, hey, Paul Maurice just got to Florida. And high expectations, right? So I'm thinking, Paul Maurice is probably thinking, if I don't get this done like this year, even though I just got here, there's a chance they could decide to make a change. They've made lots of changes in Florida over the last few years. So he's probably like, I don't really have much in the way to lose. We're right on the cusp here. We've lost four in a row with a chance to get into the playoffs. Only so many bullets in the gun for a coach to do that. That was probably a good time to use it. Even though the response wasn't great, I don't think they had a shot for the next 11 minutes after the tirade.
But they won the game.
And they took a penalty. But they ended up...
Yep.
So he can kind of chuckle about it, and we'll hear when we play the play his post game that it all did turn out well for them and that they got the 2 points. But do you not feel, too, that the dynamic for coaches has changed now in the salary cap era? They're really the guys that the heat is on now.
Okay, coach, we got to cut you off. Let's take a quick break because coach just left. the Senators coach. That means he's going to speak shortly as we're talking coaching. I want to get back into the subject, though. I think it's interesting.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And we'll get a little more sound later. But that was a short morning skate, like a short practice yesterday. As Guy would say, rest is a weapon. Late this season? He'd say that, yeah. All right, we'll take a break. DJ Smith coming up shortly on a game day. Sens and Flyers tonight on TSN 1200.
This podcast is brought to you by Bodog.net.
Don't miss a chance to play at Bodog.net. When the odds are stacked against you, post-game tastes that much sweeter. Bodog.net, your source of free casino games, poker strategies, and live sports odds.
All right, waiting for Coach. Won't be that long here, but I think we got a couple minutes. Going to hear from DJ Smith after a short morning skate. Talbot was in the starter's end, so look for him to start. No lineup changes from the win against the Panthers the other night, other than the change in goal. That's what we anticipate. We'll hear what DJ Smith has to say. Taking on the Flyers tonight, 5 o'clock pregame show, 7 o'clock faceoff on TSN 1200. All right, back to angry coaches. And specifically, Rick Bowness. Just to flesh that out a little bit more here. You know, when I think of Rick Bowness and where his headspace is at and his, I am beyond comfortable in my skin at this stage of my hockey career.
Yep.
Where I'd really, oh, am I going to tick off a few guys? Might lose the room? Oh, no. Oh, no. No. Please, no. Don't say that. Right? He's been doing this so long. With his experience and where he's at right now, it reminds me of the old Seinfeld bit. The older you get, the bigger your car gets. And then it's like, you know what? You don't even look anymore. So I'm in my driveway. I'm backing out. I'm backing out. I'm not even checking my mirror. I'm just coming. All right? Whatever. Whatever. You got to deal with me. I'm going. I'm gonna see you. I'll see you later. Rick Bowness does not care. And I think it's What a great season it's been, as bad as it's been for the Jets, for information gathering. Paul Maurice just left the team last year, which was odd. Remember that?
Yep.
He just leaves. Then the whispers start. What's going on with the core here? What's Scheifele? What's Wheeler?
Yep.
Dubois doesn't want to be here long term.
Yeah.
It's like we're picking. What? And then you thought there would be some big changes. There really wasn't huge changes with the personnel, but they brought in Rick Bowness. First half of the season went quite well. Midway point of the season, they were leading the West at one point.
Yep.
Looked like a team that, all right, coach turned it around. We knew there was talent there. But now it's drifted back to what it was. So if you're Kevin Cheveldayoff, it's like, I've got a personnel problem. Yep. I do not have a coach problem. And now I've got an entire season now after Paul Maurice quit in December of the season before. I've got a lot of information on my guys now. So now what?
Yeah. No, I think that's a pretty fair and reasoned analysis of the situation. And no doubt getting the unvarnished truth from a veteran coach who, like we said, doesn't have any motivation at this point now than to try and win with this group. He's not worried about what the players think of him and what they might say to his buddies and how other coaches on his way up, how other players might talk about him to who might be on prospective future teams that he's got to worry about. So it's not going well, but in terms of information gathering, like you said, what a great situation for Jets management, because they are getting the unvarnished truth right now about what goes on inside those four walls.
I think it was going to always be an interesting offseason for the Winnipeg Jets. I like you, and I remember we were talking, Darren Dreger's pretty plugged-in guy. He would come on pregame shows last year and say, yeah, this offseason, there's going to be some big names, right, that could be moving on. That didn't happen.
No.
You bring in Bowness. Now, it's tightening up. You got the Preds. They got a little bit closer. So did the Flames. I don't know if the Jets still make it, because I just don't believe in the Flames or the Preds, unfortunately. It's not because I think the Jets are Like, that's a turtle derby right now.
Yeah.
At the bottom end of the West to see who's going to make it. All right, here's head coach DJ Smith of the Ottawa Senators ahead of the game against the Flyers.
Any changes to your lineup tonight, Coach?
Obviously, Shabbat out, Klevin in. Everything else stay the same.
Giroux good to go?
Yep.
Game time decision on the goalie? Or?
Yep.
DJ, what lessons have you learned? Like, maybe the Chicago game, but in terms of these opponents that maybe aren't in your stratosphere in the standings, in terms of just mentally preparing for these types of games, knowing where you're at, knowing where they're at?
Well, first off, Philadelphia is not at that level. You look at their back end, Sanheim, Provorov, York, D'Angelo. They've got their back end's pretty good. I think Sanheim, I don't know if it said Sanheim. Their back end's good. What they've had is a ton of injuries. And, Couturier's been out all year for them. They're, to me, not one of those teams. And they've won four straight. Minnesota right now is rolling as good as anyone. They beat them. To me, that's not one of those. You can look at the standings, but for us, it's just another team. It's a team that plays extremely hard. It's a team that doesn't give you much, and we got to do the same to them.
DJ, this is the first time that Kachuk will see Brendan Lemieux since that biting incident in L.A. How do you want him to react to that?
Brady's afraid of nobody. He would take on anybody, but absolutely not in any situation would we want that trade-off. Do we want Brady fighting, unless when he's playing against other teams' top D or he's playing against the other team's top line, and things happen in the game. What happened in Jersey we weren't happy about, fourth line guy kind of jumps him, and then we have a power play, and he's not on the power play. If he had to sit for 2, 5, 17 minutes, we're not nearly as good of a team. If you get a power play in that span, you're not as good of a team. If he dings up his hand and can't play, you're not as good of a team. So it absolutely no situation do I see at this point of the season where we need to win the game where that he should ever engage in that situation.
Has he become better at picking his spots and that stuff as he's gotten older?
Well, the hard part is he's so competitive, and he doesn't want to say no. But it's my job as the coach to not put him in those spots, and it's also my job to let him know. If he goes and allows anyone's tough guy to take him on around the league, there's going to be all kinds of guys. You're helping your team. You're not as good of a player as per se he is if you're the other team's maybe tough guy or guy that plays 7 minutes or 5 minutes, and you're going to take off a guy that is either leading our team in scoring most of the time or second or whatever. It makes no sense for us. So he is getting better at identifying that, but he's so competitive. Now I get last change, and there's all those things that go with it. But Brady's 100% concentrating on just trying to win. And I think he's doing a lot of those things here down the stretch, and he's really coming of age when it comes to learning how to win games. And you watch him in the third period, he's doing a lot of things. And hockey's a tough game, and there is fighting involved. But for me, I don't have a whole lot of interest in him doing it every night. We're not nearly as good of a hockey team.
Without Shabbat and Chychrun, do you have to play differently defensively?
Got to play differently offensively. We got to hold on to the puck more. We can't spend the whole night in your zone. You're not going to break out as good, clearly. You can try and defend, but your game plan can't be to defend for 60 minutes. You're going to have to make them defend you. And if you can make them defend you and outchange them, you're not going to be in your zone as much. But when we are in there, we're going to have to be fast, we're going to be hard, and we're going to have to come back in five to help those guys.
Talbot's been, on and off with injury all season. If he does make the start tonight, what have you noticed about him the game he comes back after he's dealt with one of these injury bugs?
Well, he's been around the league a long time. He's come back every time and been really solid. He's been solid for a lot of games for us. He carried us through December. But so Sogi of late as well. So, these are tough decisions. There's, we know the situation we're in with how many games and what we think we'd have to win to possibly have a chance, and we're going to need both of them.
And I know in talking to the players, they kind of watch the standings. How do you keep them focused and just on the task at hand and not about everything, and trying to make the playoffs outside of that?
Well, I think on the off day, go ahead, look, but when you come today's about just winning the game. and we'll re-adjourn tomorrow, and we'll talk tomorrow about, you know, what we have to do. But you have to just win the game today. And our big focus is just beating the Flyers, and we'll deal with whatever tomorrow.
All righty. Thanks,
Coach. Thank you.
Head Coach DJ Smith. So, didn't confirm Talbot, but Talbot was in the starter's end. So I think we can pretty much, barring something, a setback this afternoon, look for Cam Talbot to get the nod tonight against the Philadelphia Flyers. No changes except the injury-related. And Klevin makes his NHL debut, and unfortunately Thomas Chabot will miss his first, by the sounds of it, probably of eight the rest of the season here. They stopped short just of that, but when you start to say, hey, it's going to be 2 to 3 weeks, we all can look at the calendar. Unfortunately, it looks like don't count on Chabot or Chychrun to be helping out the rest of the way if this improbable push is going to continue. So, I asked this question yesterday, CJ. How many minutes do you think Jake Sanderson plays tonight?
27? You think higher?
I think he could be 30-minute guy, darn close. Like, 27 is close to that.
Could be, like, yes.
What would be a reasonable
over-under? A recreation of the old Chabot days when...
that's what I was thinking, yeah.
He'd like be 28, 29, 30 most nights.
Like, in a different way, the blue line feels about as, I'm not sure what I'm going to get thin.
Yeah.
Like when Chabot clearly was the number one guy, and he has been, right? And they had injuries to guys that they were filling out the top six with.
Yeah.
And he went through that stretch where he was playing mid-30s.
Yeah.
It's not going to be mid-30s, but would it shock you to see Jake Sanderson play half the hockey game tonight?
No. And he can handle it, but in a way, it's too bad because I look at the ice times for that game against the Panthers, and they're finally getting to a place where they've got a much more equitable distribution of the ice time. Now, Chabot missed the last 6 minutes of the game and played, but still, out of that 6 minutes, how much do you think he would have played? Give him another two out of those last 6 minutes. That still would have only brought him to about 20 minutes for the night. Sanderson was at 23:45. And you go down the list, and how many players were more than 20 minutes the other night? One, two, three players were over 20 minutes the other night. Which is, you know, where you want to get to. That you've got the depth and the balance in your lineup where you're not getting into that situation where you're overtaxing guys. And especially over the grind of an 82-game season, and we talk about it. You're 3-4s and you're on the road. If you can have that more equitable distribution of the ice time, that's such a big advantage. So the only guys over 20 minutes the other night, Stützle was at 20:49. Travis Hamonic probably picked up some of the slack when we saw him on the power play when Chabot went out for the last few minutes of the game. He was at 21:43. And Jake Sanderson was at 23:45. So that to me has been one of the biggest positives to evolve, especially on the blue line. That now Sanderson has taken over as the number one guy. And we've seen his numbers get up there. Do you have the season totals there in front of you? I'm just looking at the one individual game.
You want game log or what's his average?
No, just his average.
All right. So,
but seeing
Jake Sanderson is now averaging 21:20 a game. That's second on the team.
Yeah.
Chychrun has been averaging 21 minutes even since in his 12 games.
Yep.
And this is where I was going to go next. Yep. Zub is 20:04, but there's a forward ahead of that. Tim Stützle, averaging 21 minutes a game.
Yeah.
And that's because he's taken a huge step forward with his overall game maturation-wise this season. So you want to play him more.
Yeah.
And he's killing penalties.
Yes.
And I was just looking at Stützle's game log, actually. The last time he did not play at least 20 minutes in a game, and if you play 20 minutes in a game as a forward, that's a lot of ice time.
Yeah.
The last time Tim Stützle did not play 20 minutes in a game was the 5-0 loss in Chicago to start the road trip. That's way back on the 6th of March.
Yeah.
And then the two previous games before that, he was up over. I mean, as the season's gone on here, well, it just speaks to when your average is 21.
Yeah.
It's unusual when you don't hit 20.
Right.
And that's Norris's injury, too, and all that.
I was just going to say, and to my point, that when you get Norris back in the mix, you should be able to see that ice time for Stützle dialed back a little bit, which is all good. And because my point being now, if you've got most of your D-men, let's say in that 17 to 24 minute window, then everybody's able to give more energy in the shifts that they play. Nobody has to pace themselves thinking that, like, oh, we're on the front end of a back-to-back, I need to dial it back here a little bit. You're going to be able to get whatever percentage that is, 8%, 10% more each shift from each guy, because nobody is subconsciously pacing themselves because they know they're on the front end of a back-to-back, going to play 27 minutes tonight. I need something in the tank for tomorrow. I'm not taking this puck all the way deep into the other team's end. I'm dumping it in at the red line and going to the bench. I just think this has been such a positive trend for this team this year as the depth has improved, particularly on the blue line with the emergence of Sanderson, lately the addition of Chychrun. What I think have been, you know, very kind of journeyman, workmanlike, but useful minutes from Hamonic. That's going to help the team so much going forward with that more equitable distribution of the ice time, that you're going to get a little bit more from each guy.
You should.
Each night.
Yeah. All right, we're late. We got to go. We'll take a break. We got lots of show left. We're into code word hour now. 11 o'clock hour. Artem Zub week continues. Second last day of a contest, period. That's it. We've given away a lot of Sens Adidas Pro jerseys during the contest. Final week of that, and it is Zub week. Listen for your code word here in the 11 o'clock hour. You hear the cue. I'll give you the word. You hit the website. You plug it in. You listen tomorrow. You see if you win. We've got Sens Hurricanes tickets, a four-pack again to give away for the final game of the regular season on April the 10th. And also, all day long, and we gave away the tickets in the first hour. You listen for the sounder. It's Kenny's call, calling it garbage. When you hear that this hour, call in if you're caller 25. Kenny will give you some 67s Generals tickets for Game 2 in Gatineau on Sunday.
I tweeted earlier that I heard there could be as many as three of the prospective ownership groups in town to see the game tonight. Mark Sutcliffe on his Instagram has been meeting with Ryan Reynolds. So there you go. You can expect Ryan Reynolds to be at the game tonight.
Deadpool in the house tonight. Here we go. All right, we're back in a moment on In the Box on TSN 1200.